Welcome to Day Zero Update for August 27th, 2023. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
And I'm Brandon Perkins.
Yeah, two-man crew, but plenty of news today.
Holy shit, yes.
Yeah, Gamescom happened and everybody said, hey, what if we announced all of our dates this week?
Mm-hmm.
We got dates for a bunch of games, some that have updates coming out in the near future.
Yeah.
Some that are being delayed to next year. And even games that are coming out just sometime in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
The few new announcements in like the Opening Night Live show,
mm-hmm,
and all that. So we'll have that, plus some industry news, some other things that happened outside of the Gamescom stuff. So plenty of stuff here. And yeah, what we'll be talking about beforehand is what we've been playing. And I'll kick it off here. The main thing I've been playing, Pikmin 4. I have gotten 100% in all areas.
Yeah.
Which was a very annoying process because I basically beat the game, which entitled going through 20 floors of a cave that kind of had you go through like most of the big bosses from throughout the game. So that was kind of an annoying thing there, especially because it was pretty easy to just kill a bunch of your dudes and a bunch of them. So I'd restart a lot of times with that stuff. So that was kind of an annoying way for the game to end. But especially the final boss fight, which goes through like five phases. And the last one is just full of, let's say, instant kill mechanics that I had a number of times where it interrupted me with a cutscene saying, you've lost all of this kind of Pikmin. You might have trouble continuing on. And it loves to just continue to show that, even though you've seen it, you know, three, four times, whatever. I kind of wish you could just turn off cutscenes at a certain point when you've seen them multiple times for that stuff. I had to use rewind a lot on that fight because I didn't understand certain mechanics in there. But yeah, by the end, I eventually figured it out and got that done, to which everybody leaves, even though I had, you know, leaflings hanging around that needed to be cured. And they're like, oh, it's a shame we didn't get that done. And they're like, oh, we'll be back after we go back to HQ, which is some bullshit because when you, it just kicks you out to the main menu. When you reload your save, they're like, oh, I thought we were going to leave, but I guess not. Okay. It's just kind of rewrites it instead of them coming back to the planet. So I still had 6 onions out of the 8. Mm-hmm. I was confused, like, where am I getting the other ones? Because the last thing I had in any of the maps was just one item that required 1,000 Pikmin power, which is the purple do 10 each, so you need 100 of those.
Yeah.
And I did not have a purple onion. And I was like, where the hell is this? I looked it up. I had to go through this other challenge thing that opens up in the base.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, oh, I thought we had all the pipes mapped out here, but there's one that just showed up as soon as you beat the game kind of thing. And that's 10 super annoying challenges that are timed and essentially require you to do a lot of bullshit in a lot of them. Even one of them was like nicknamed like gimmick, gimmick capades or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here's all the bullshit you forgot happened because we only did it like twice in the entire game before this, which is very annoying to do. But that one's probably one of the easier ones. You get the white one like halfway through 10 floors, 10 challenges, and then you only get the purple one with the final one. And so I was kind of just burning through that because I was just getting more and more annoyed with each one because they're just all about annoying you very much. So just getting very kind of angry with that. Even the last one was just kind of annoying because I knew what I had to do. It was just a matter of getting things to fall into line with the way that they wanted it. And they, you know, they have similar metal system for that like the others, which is I'm not going to try and get platinum medals in those because fuck them. I hated it before. I'm not going to replay them. I assume you don't get anything special out of it, but I got the purple onion. I started grinding out some more Pikmin with that now that I have the all of them, and went and got the one last item. So that's that. The only thing I have left now are the leaflings that I have to do the nighttime mode in for that stuff, which isn't too hard, or so far it isn't that hard. So kind of just working my way through that. And that'll be it with the game, I think. Yeah. So luckily almost done with that, and I can send it back to Gamefly and maybe get something else here, especially as we got a bunch of releases coming out in the near future. So that'll be fun to finish that up and move on. So that's been primarily what I've been playing. So, Brandon, what have you been doing?
Mm-hmm. Well, as for me, I'm getting close to the end of Blasphemous 2. I went and did some of the side quests that to help sort of improve my odds against some of the final bosses, because they do get more and more difficult as you go on. One of the things I did is there's a whole side quest where you have to basically go around sort of the world and find what are called Kobeatas. Now, I originally saw one of these because they show up sort of in the hub area where you spend a lot of the game's time getting upgrades and stuff. And I thought, it's this weird tall nun with like a weird cyclops eye or whatever. Turns out Kobeatas are actually like a real thing. They're a type of dress that was really popular in the Cadiz region of Spain, like right around where Gibraltar is. And it's literally like a person, you know, draped in dark colors with a, you know, like a thing over their face where it only just shows one eye peeking out. And I'm like, I did not know that was actually a thing. But I, again, you know, this is a series that takes a lot of its imagery from, like, you know, Spanish Catholicism and stuff like that. And, you know, Francisco de Goya and all these guys. And yeah, it's just, it continues to impress me with the art direction. Also, it's just a lot of fun. The game is legitimately a lot of fun. And very enjoyable. And, you know, again, I'm going to highly recommend it when my review finally comes out, hopefully early this week. But yeah, that game is legitimately fun. And not as, you know, I think it compared to like the first game in hindsight, it's a bit better in sort of pacing out its difficulty. And a bit better at sort of teaching you how to use all the mechanics and stuff. But yeah, so that's basically what I've been playing. Other than that, I've just kind of been prepping for about Baldur's Gate 3. I'm cleaning out parts of my my memory so that, you know, I'll have enough space for it, because it's supposed to be kind of big. And also, you know, reading up on stuff about, like, you know, tiers and tips, stuff that you might want to do, might not want to do, stuff like that. Because I'm excited to play it. And it comes out for PS5 week after next. So, yeah, on the 6th. So, awesome. But, yeah, that's what I've been doing. So, yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's get ready for some news here. First up here, we got a new update for No Man's Sky, their biggest of the year, that they're calling Echoes. And it's big because they've introduced a new race, robotic aliens, called, what are they called here? The Autophage. Long hidden civilization of robotic beings, bodies cobbled together from scrap metal and salvaged technology. These wandering constructs appear in a huge variety of styles. From slender pipe-wrought robots to hefty cloth-draped machines. They look pretty cool here from the shots they have. But they have a lot more in this as well. Things like multi-tool salvaging. So you can kind of salvage your multi-tools instead of having to sell them. That kind of stuff. There's more story stuff surrounding the new race, as you're dealing with a new sort of quest giver of sorts for that. They have foveated rendering for PSVR2 to help make the game look a little bit better there. Some more combat stuff for starships. Make that a little bit better. They got trench run stuff now on some of these dreadnoughts, so you can get your Star Wars on there. with that. And yeah, a ton of stuff. Definitely worth reading through this if you want to do that. So mm-hmm. yeah, a lot of cool stuff. More reasons to keep playing No Man's Sky there. Mm. And yeah, for one subscription service news here, for the Nintendo Switch Online, they got a new game for the Nintendo 64 app, Excitebike 64. Mm. It'll be available on August 30th, so on Wednesday here. That's a game I remember liking a good bit back in the day, though. Yeah, every time I see footage of it here in screenshots, I'm like, oh yeah, that game's just like a muddy mess of a look, because it is a dirt bike racing game of sorts, but not, you know, as linear as the original was on the NES. So you kind of get some of that fun stuff there, a little more exciting stuff there. So yeah, that's one you can check out there.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see, for some more dates, we got another game deciding to release a little early.
Yeah,
Nocturne Knights.
Yep.
They were going to release, I think, the 22nd or 26th. I forget which one of those.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are, 21st. Mm-hmm. Now they're releasing September 12th. They're just flipping those numbers around.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be out 9 days earlier for PS5, PS4, and PC. So that's cool. You'll be able to get a little earlier so they can probably get out of the way of
mm-hmm.
Mortal Kombat and some of that other stuff that's coming out
later
this month. Because, you know, there's hot competition between these two games
mm-hmm.
For that. So, yeah, looking forward to that. And I'll be able to check it out in a couple weeks now. Mm. So that's when you can check out Gamescom news here. They showed off some Cyberpunk 2077 stuff for the new expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, we're talking about how there's a free update coming called Update 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be including a lot of the mechanics that you see in the Phantom Liberty expansion trailers they've been showing. So that includes like an overhaul of the skill tree system to include better stuff there versus just like, you know, you can do this, you know, 4% better kind of thing. A lot of percentage based stuff. Now you can get better skills and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I think the one I saw was that people going for sword builds have better opportunities to deflect bullets with that, with their swords versus, you know, taking a lot of bullets just because that's not really a mechanic in the game up to that point. So there's that kind of stuff there so that you can kind of have some more meaningful builds with that stuff. So yeah, they also talked about making enemy combat better so the AI, you know, is more dynamic and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the same with the police system. As something that's been kind of an issue since the game launched, the police have been largely brain dead early on and just not very good at handling the sorts of chaos that your character can cause. And it seems like with this new system, they'll be able to better respond in more engaging ways with like roadblocks and trying to ram you off the road, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, vehicle combat kind of stuff where you can have ability to shoot out of the car versus that being just like a mission only thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's some of the stuff that they're adding in that. So that'll be out September 26th, while the DLC I believe is out later, or is that also September 26th? Not 100% sure on that, but yeah, you'll be able to get that whether you have the expansion or not. So that's good. Kind of while they're still like fixing up parts of the game like that here, like 3 years later. So yeah, we'll have to see how that all works.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to some more dates. Sonic Superstars finally has a date, October 17th.
Mm-hmm.
So your Sonic fun will be happening in October before it gets crushed by Super Mario Wonder and Spider-Man 2.
Yeah. Yep.
They're walking right into that.
I swear, they have had just the worst luck at, you know, scheduling their game releases. You know, because you know, the last Sonic game came out like right around the time when I think it was also like Tears of the Kingdom came out.
I don't think so.
It was around a big major release. I remember that much.
Yeah, I forget when Sonic Frontiers came out. That was last year.
Elden Ring.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember, I don't remember.
But, yeah. But this one will be coming out in October. That's kind of a fun. It'll be $60. They have a Lego Sonic skin that you get for free with purchase.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the Digital Deluxe Edition for $70, they got, let's see, Sonic Rabbit skin, Mecha Sonic parts for battle mode, menu screen wallpapers, what everybody likes, digital art book, and mini original soundtrack. So you got that, as well as a Lego Fun Pack that I think adds more Lego stuff to the game. So yeah, that's a fun whole time there. So yeah. At least the game's looking pretty good, so people will be able to check that out at some point. Let's see, October 26th, Ghost Runner 2 will finally be out. So that's the big kind of chaotic speedrunning game, melee action speedrunning game, where you are in kind of a cyberpunk city as a dude that's just trying to take out enemies and get through the levels as quickly as possible. Luckily, these are fairly cheaper games. $40 at launch for the standard edition. $50 for deluxe, and $70 for the brutal edition, which will get you 2-day early access on the brutal edition. So, plus with the season pass of some extra content there. So, there you go for that. That's a neat looking game. I have the first one from PlayStation Plus. I need to check it out at some point. Let's see. Also coming out October 31st, Jusant. This is the really cool looking game from Dontnod. That is sort of a climbing adventure game of sorts. You're sort of coming up upon this big tower that seems like being a place that's full of or what used to be full of like ocean life, but now due to climate change has kind of become more barren. So you're kind of exploring these areas, finding places to climb up, you know, putting down points to hang on, all that kind of stuff. Some things that actual rock climbers do. This is obviously going to be a little more fantastical in that stuff, so that one looks really neat. I liked playing the demo, except for the part where I tried to record it and it just freaked out. But other than that, that's looking neat. Now we're in November for dates. This is The Invincible, coming out November 6th. This will be hitting PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and PC. This is from publisher 11-Bit Studios, developer Starward Industries. It's kind of a sci-fi mystery game. That looks really cool. Has a really nice style to it.
Yeah, it's based on a novel by Stanislaw Lem, who's like one of the he was the preeminent science fiction writer from Poland, and his work has surprisingly had a lot of legs to it. If you've ever seen that movie Solaris, it's based on something he wrote. He also was also famously like a philosopher and everything, but I've read the book, by the way, that this game is based on. And I have this feeling that the game is supposed to be kind of like a meta sequel to it. But like one of the sort of main sort of things about the plot is it's all these people who are on a spaceship and they crash land on a planet where they discover that, basically artificial life has come into existence. If you've seen like the clips and the trailers and stuff, you've seen like the robots and stuff. Basically the robots, it's like an advanced kind of AI has sort of come into existence and started evolving to sentience on this planet. And it looks fascinating. Also, a lot of the people who worked on this game were former CD Projekt Red people who worked on the Witcher series.
Yeah.
And, you know, because again, it's Polish people working on a Polish as hell game. So,
yeah.
I'm excited to see this. I hope it's good.
Yeah, you're playing as Yasna, an astrobiologist in search for lost crew.
Yeah.
That are on this planet of Regis 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that seems kind of uninhabited, but you start seeing signs of like these robotic beings that are around. Yep. So that kind of stuff. So you're kind of trying to figure out like what the hell happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Where is my crew, dead or alive? Sort of stuff. So
yeah,
you'll be able to check that out in November.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Also in November, Naruto Cross Boruto Ultimate Ninja Storm Connections.
Yep.
Get that name as long as they can. That'll be out November 17th worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
It's the day before in Japan. This is the game that kind of combines all of the story stuff they've done in the other Ultimate Ninja Storm games and kind of adding some stuff as well to it to get you from the beginning of Naruto through the story of Boruto, all that kind of stuff. So you can kind of enjoy the entire arc in a game, which is a lot. Even for these anime games like the Dragon Ball Z stuff that does just the story of Dragon Ball Z, like that's just like three or four arcs. Naruto goes through many arcs, especially when you go through Naruto and Shippuden and Boruto as well. So you kind of got a lot of potential value there for that stuff. So yeah. There you go. That's one to check out. It's PlayStation, Xbox for November 17th. Switch will be a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And PC will be a little bit later as well. So you got that. The same day, something a little different. The Atari 2600 Plus was announced. This is a neat idea for Atari because the VCS, like, you know, computer thing, did not do very well for them. This is more of a little bit of a redesigned Atari 2600. Same look and style to it with the wood grain and the big four selectors for game types and difficulty selects and all that kind of stuff there with a slot to put actual Atari 2600 games in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess also recreation carts as well in there that can work and run on it, but it has modern features on it like HDMI, USB ports, support for multiple screen resolutions, because that definitely wasn't a thing when the Atari came out.
Yep.
It comes with a new CX40 Plus joystick that's faithful to the original and also supports two players. Can play 2600 and 7800 cartridges, and I think they also have an option to get the controller for the 7800 because that's a lot different. And comes with a 10-in-1 cartridge with, let's see, Adventure, Combat, Dodgem, Haunted House, Maze Craze, Missile Command, Real Sports Volleyball, Surround, Video Pinball, and Yara's Revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get a decent bit there. And they're also going to release some physical versions of games they've released recently, like Mr. Run and Jump and Berserker Enhanced Edition. So we play some newer games there as well. So that's neat. It's like a retro piece there.
Yeah.
It'll be $129.99 on November 17th. You can pre-order it now from the Atari website. The joystick controllers are $24.99. They're also going to sell the paddle controller with a 4-in-1 game cartridge for $39.99. So that's also a neat thing. So, yeah, kind of taking a better approach to sort of their retro stuff for that. So hopefully that works out pretty well, especially for people that kind of want to check out the kind of original experience that game, that system was. Especially since you don't have to like hook it up via RF receivers and shit like that. That's we probably had to do with like the Super Nintendo originally before we had TVs that had, you know, the red and yellow outputs on it, that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's that. Now we're moving to December. One game in December This is coming out December 1st, SteamWorld build. This is coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. It'll also be on Game Pass. This is one I'm excited for. I like the series a lot, and not really big on city builders, but I played the demo for this, and as I figured out how it worked, I started really getting into it in a very cool way. So you're kind of building out the city above to fulfill demands that people have, and then you're going into the mines to mine out materials to help you build out more of the city and do all that kind of stuff. So, it's a really neat looking game, really neat idea for a new game in the series. As this kind of fulfills sort of the other part of like the SteamWorld Dig games, where you are a robot that's going down and sort of mining out the place below. But now you're going to be able to manage the city above and all the people there, and sort of how they're getting around doing their things and sort of allowing the miners to do their things down below. All that kind of stuff. So yeah, looking forward to that. That'll be in December. So that's it for specific dates for this year. We do have one for 2023. Baldur's Gate 3 is finally confirmed to be coming to Xbox Series X and S later this year. No date on that just yet, but since they're having issues getting the split screen cooperative play working on the Series X or Series S, they got the waiver to be able to release without it on the Series S. Series X will have all the features in it with that, so you'll be able to do all that as Phil Spencer and the team at Xbox has sort of allowed them to do it, which seems like probably the right move for this game versus letting them kind of just bang their heads against the wall to try to figure out some trick that would make it work.
But
yeah, they are luckily going to be able to do that. So Xbox people will finally be able to check that game out sometime later this year. So yeah, that'll be good news for Xbox people. But yeah, let's see. Also happening sometime later this year, Alien Hominid HD was announced by the Behemoth. It's coming to basically everything but PlayStation. Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And yeah, that'll be happening alongside the reimagining Alien Hominid Invasion. They'll also have a bundle at that point. But no date yet on any of this. But yeah, Alien Hominid was the game that put Newgrounds on the map. As well as kind of Flash gaming in general. As well as indie gaming, because I think it was one of the first indie games to get a release on a console. They had a GameCube version that you could get on a disc back in the day. That was sort of a big deal. It's like, oh, this game that I could play on, you know, my browser is now on a GameCube, and that's wild stuff. It eventually got like an XBLA release the following generation, so got more widely available there, but that's a side-scrolling shooter that people should definitely really check out. It's a very cool style to it. And all that, and I believe it also has some of the extra minigame modes in there. Super Soviet Missile Master. The all-you-can-eat mode, Neutron Ball, Pinata Fiesta, as well as a bunch of PDA games, which I think are like quick little platforming things. Nothing really too bad there. So yeah, that'll be something to check out. A game that has not really been a big deal in a long time. Especially now that Flash gaming is kind of not a thing anymore.
Well, I mean, Flash isn't really a thing anymore.
But yeah, there you go for that. We'll move into 2024, so we got a bunch of dates here. Still, Tekken 8 finally has a date, January 26th, 2024. They got a big showing at the opening night live, and also a glimpse of the single-player mode for that game, which as far as I could tell, didn't really go into it too much, but it looks like the typical way that Japanese fighting games do their online modes, where you create like a little avatar and sort of go around and essentially like queue up for matches, kind of stuff like that. That is like a single player experience, but also setting it in sort of a big, huge arcade with maybe some like esports stuff going on in there.
Oh yeah.
As you're going into like competitions with other people playing on arcade machines. And I believe you unlock avatar pieces for your avatar as well as your fighters. So you kind of get some of that customization stuff that the last few Tekkens have had. That kind of stuff. So that looks pretty neat. We'll be curious to see if there's anything more to that. Though I do think they have some bonus stuff in there for pre-ordering the game. I think pre-ordering it can get you like a Mokujin outfit for your avatar kind of stuff. So yeah, that's looking, that looks good. Still continues to look good. So yeah, some Tekken to start off 2024 for people there. So there you go for that. And then we'll get into the beginning of February here, where JRPGs decided to come out. First up here, we got Granblue Fantasy Relink. That'll be out February 1st. PS5, PS4, PC. That is, yeah, Exceed's publishing the physical editions in North America. And yeah, that's taking the Granblue Fantasy franchise and sort of bringing it into the RPG space.
Yep.
Dan Rives played it. There's a hands-on article on the website. Worth checking that out if you're interested in more information on that. But definitely looks like a whole lot of stuff here for that game. And it seems it also has some online co-op stuff as well for four players. And all that. So if you want to play with friends, you can definitely do that.
Yep.
So yeah, that's one to keep an eye on there. $60 for the base game, so but you can get an $180 edition if you want to pay a bunch for a statue and some other stuff. What else does it have here? Starter item pack, character color pack, weapon, art book, soundtrack, CD, postcard set, metal charm, and a Proto Bahamut statue figure. So there you go for that, if you want that. So, yeah, that's one of the JRPGs there to start off February. The other one, Persona 3 Reload, finally has a date, February 2nd, 2024, which is, you know, Groundhog Day there, $70. PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. It'll also be on Game Pass. Yeah, I also have a $200 edition for that with the collector's box, art book, two disc soundtrack, CD, Aegis figure, and a bunch of DLC to it. Looks like they're going to have a costume, a bunch of costume sets from Persona 5 characters, Persona 5 Royal characters, Persona 4 Golden stuff as well. So, yeah, if you want a bunch of costumes, you can pay $200 for them. For that stuff. So, yeah, everything I'm seeing about that game sounds pretty good. The main thing you're going to miss is the female MC from Persona 4 or Persona 3 Portable. But they do seem like they're taking the initiative to kind of flesh out some of these characters a little more versus what they maybe had in the original games. So you're going to get a little more info on these characters. So that's at least pretty cool there. You kind of do a lot of the style stuff that you got out of Persona 5 for Persona 3. Which is neat. Makes sense for what they're doing here. So yeah, Persona 3 Reload, February 2nd. Let's see here. Delay. We're done with release dates for 2024 so far. We do have a delay here. Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, has been delayed to Q1 2024. So no longer planning to come out this year. So yeah, they're going to keep working on that, Xbox Series X and S and PC, as well as Game Pass versions in the works. So, yeah, just have to wait some more for that game. But
yep,
not going to be short on games to play this year.
Definitely not.
So yeah, disappointing, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Next up here, some games that were announced in the Opening Night Live showcase. This one's Dustborn.
Mm-hmm.
Early 2024 for PlayStation, Xbox, PC. Single-player, story-driven action-adventure game. It has kind of a neat hook to it, where you kind of get into, conversations with people, and, like, your words can actually affect people in the game. Or you might tell somebody to, I think the thing they showed in the trailer was, like, somebody's telling somebody to shut up and they are unable to breathe.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Or yelling at these guards, telling them, like, oh, the other person hates them, and they start getting into a fight kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have some means for affecting the way people interact with each other through your dialogue. So that's kind of a neat thing. That maybe also plays out in the combat as well from what they're showing here.
Mm-hmm.
As you fight with shouts and use your vox and conversations to manipulate people. So yeah, you kind of have like comic style shouts that you shoot out to take down enemies, that kind of stuff.
Mm.
But along the way, you're part of a crew that's on a road trip across a post-apocalyptic America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, alternate history America. So
yep.
That seems neat. It has a neat style to it.
Mm-hmm.
Curious to see where that goes. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. Dustborn. That's one of the games that look neat in that showcase.
Mm-hmm. Definitely looks interesting. And they said early 2024. Yeah, I'm going to put this on my radar, because this definitely looks like my kind of thing. It's kind of a neo-Western-esque alternate history stuff, authoritarian regime, stuff like that. Yeah. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go for that. Let's see. Next up here, Expeditions, a MudRunner game.
Mm.
Coming to PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC. Kind of taking the MudRunner style of driving vehicles through some terrible, muddy, snowy terrain kind of stuff and taking it to this, I don't know if it's mentioned here. I think it seems like more of a deserty area.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe has some different environments in there, but you're running sort of a scientific expedition team with quests to go out to different places and help run a bunch of tests and, you know, figure out what's going on in this area, that kind of stuff. So kind of having a lot of the same kind of driving mechanics and tools like winches and all that to pull you around. They have some more stuff here like drones and other tools and technology to investigate the places around here.
Mm-hmm.
Looks really nice. Another one of these that I'm looking forward to. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
Expeditions. One to keep an eye on there for next year at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see here. Little Nightmares 3 got announced. But instead of being developed by Tarsier like the other two games, it is being made by Supermassive Games this time around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a big change there for, let's see, PlayStation, Xbox, Switch, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be out sometime next year. Got some co-op mode in here. Looks like a lot of the same kind of chilling kind of platformer, puzzle, action, adventure stuff here that was in the other two games.
Yep.
Some more of that stuff. So, yeah, if you like that, it seems like it's more of that.
Awesome.
So that's cool. And let's see here. I think this is the last one from Opening Night Live. A comedy slapformer called Thank Goodness You're Here was announced for PS5, Switch, and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Had a very nice look to it from publisher Panic and
mm-hmm.
developer Cole Supper. Has a very cool look to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you explore the strange town of Barnsworth in this cheeky comedy slap former. Mm-hmm. Arriving early for a big meeting with the mayor of a bizarre northern English town, a traveling salesman takes the time to explore and meet the locals, who are all very eager to give him a series of increasingly odd jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it seems like setting up for a lot of fun comedic moments and doing weird, silly stuff throughout.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make for some fun times. That's one I'm definitely looking forward to here.
Mm-hmm.
As we go. Yeah, based on traditional Yorkshire folklore, a lot of extra stuff there. So yeah, that looks neat. Definitely one for people to check out there from the Opening Night Live. And that's kind of it for Opening Night Live stuff. The only other thing that was kind of happening there was the weird dude that showed up on stage early on to like interfere and yell about GTA 6.
Yeah, Bill Clinton wants to play GTA 6, yeah.
Something like that, yeah. He is apparently known for that, especially in like the past couple of weeks, have been showing up on different German TV shows to yell about GTA 6 for that. And you can tell Jeff was kind of annoyed that somebody would do that again, as he was like, okay, let's move on and like let his security team take him off the stage, kind of stuff. And I was like talking about how disappointing it is to have people do this when they're trying to put on a show and help developers sort of get their games out there, kind of stuff. So yeah, kind of one of those things where it seems to suggest that maybe they should stop putting public tickets out there.
Yeah.
People are going to betray their trust there for that stuff, unfortunately.
Yeah.
So yeah, there you go for that stuff. But let's get to some other news here. Some unfortunate BioWare news.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've laid off 50 employees in a studio restructuring thing here. I wonder if this is sort of in the wake of them selling off the Star Wars The Old Republic MMO to another team, and sort of having, you know, a bunch of people there that, you know, need new jobs, and probably letting them, you know, apply for new jobs, see if they want to move over to one of the other studios in BioWare kind of stuff, and probably laying off some others. But I believe there's some other people of note in the established BioWare studios that also got laid off in this, as there's some writers and a couple other people of notes that talked about getting laid off. So yeah, definitely wasn't a bunch of nobodies there.
Yeah.
At least people that you wouldn't know directly as being a face of those games. So not a fun time for BioWare as they're trying to get their things in order for the new Dragon Age game.
Yeah. I don't think we can underestimate just how big of a disaster some was for that company. Because they had like all of these plans going out for years, and they ended up canning the whole project like only a few months after release. So
yeah.
Yeah, they are really in their house in order.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully this is the last of the bad news for them.
Yeah.
We get some more good news in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
As they seem to keep chipping away at Dragon Age Dreadwolf, and we still have no real clue how close it is to releasing.
And we also have no idea how close development they've got on the next Mass Effect. Apparently in the press release, they talked about they were still doing pre-production work on that one. And I'm like, damn.
Yeah, I think Dragon Age is their focus right now. But still, I have any idea that that's like a next year game or what is a little surprising at this point.
Yeah, definitely.
But let's get to the big Nintendo news of the week.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that Charles Martinet will no longer be voicing Mario.
Mm-hmm.
They put out a big statement here saying that he is moving into the new role of Mario Ambassador.
Yeah.
With that transition. He'll be stepping back from recording character voices for their games, which he voiced Mario, Luigi, Wario, Waluigi, and maybe some other characters there.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to probably do a lot of what he's been doing previously, which is go to conventions and do a lot of presentational stuff for them. I remember being at the E3 where the Wii was going to be launched, and they had that big Wii line around their booth that they had some spaces where they had big screens with cameras on them for Nintendo people to kind of talk to people in the lines, that kind of stuff. He was one of those people talking to people and wanting to do voices and all that kind of stuff and answer questions and talk to people. Very nice. Mm-hmm. For a little bit, I got to talk to him about. So,
yeah.
Seems like a very pleasant dude, but he's also getting up in age. He's, I think, like 66, 67.
Yeah. Something like voice that. Acting, you'd be surprised how much toll voice acting can take on a person.
Yeah. And this seems like a thing where Nintendo especially would like sooner rather than later to have somebody new lined up, and they definitely do, because in Super Mario Brothers Wonder, there's a new voice for Mario in that game, Mario and Luigi in that, but they're being like refusing to say who it is. They're basically saying like, yeah, you gotta buy the game to find out, which means a reviewer will mention it before launch, because they'll get to the credits as quickly as possible. Somebody will and tell everybody the who it is, which is definitely not Chris Pratt. Nintendo's not going to pay big money for a celebrity voice that, you know, it's not going to be as accessible as like a Charles Martinet would be. Nintendo does not do that kind of stuff. They like to be cheap, unfortunately. So there you go for that. Wishing Charles Martinet the best of his free time now. Maybe we can go back to making like vines and TikToks for Mario stuff like he used to. Or if you go look up that stuff, he made a lot of vines with little Mario and Luigi figures and finding fun little bits and such you could do with them, kind of stuff. So maybe we'll get some more of that stuff. Let's see, the PlayStation news here as we run down the last few things on the show. They announced names for the handheld device and the earbuds and the new headset that they announced earlier this year. The handheld device is the PlayStation Portal.
Yeah.
The earbuds are the PlayStation Pulse Wireless, or PlayStation Pulse Explore wireless earbuds. The headset is the PlayStation Pulse Elite wireless headset. They already put out a headset called the PlayStation Pulse headset. Pretty good. A little small in my head. I have a big head, so it's not really too surprising. But they ran down a bunch of details on this stuff here. The PlayStation Portal is $200, $199.99, which seems like a solid price for what you're getting here. It has all the DualSense features with adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, all that kind of stuff. In place of the touchpad, you can touch on the screen to do your touchpad stuff. They moved the PlayStation button to one side of the screen and the muting mic button to the other side. So they kind of moved them up to the next to like the options and the capture buttons there, so you'll be able to have all that. It's an 8-inch LCD screen, seems fairly big for what it is. But yeah, it's a remote play device, so you need a good Wi-Fi connection, whether inside your home or outside of your home, to connect to your PS5 to stream games from it.
Yep.
Seems like the other big issue people have is no Bluetooth headset support to it, or earbud support, which I get, but also Bluetooth audio for games is not great. It has some latency built into it. The Switch has support for this. The Vita did. I've used it on both of those.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you can definitely tell the latency. And I imagine if you're streaming a game, that probably adds even more to it in a way that probably just highlights that latency more so. It makes it seem busted.
Mm.
So they've kind of come up with a new means for connecting headsets to the thing called PlayStation Link.
Mm-hmm.
That's particularly what these the new headset and the earbuds support.
Mm.
As yeah, they talk about having lossless audio for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So that this Link feature will be sort of a seamless means of connecting and very low latency, so that it should be better for using these things.
Mm.
With games, so that seems neat. The headset is, let's see, yeah, the headset is $149.99. The earbuds are $199.99.
Yep.
For that, so yeah, as they say here, the headset has lossless audio, includes a retractable boom mic.
Mm-hmm.
With AI-enhanced noise rejection capable of filtering background sounds. It also, neatly, the way you charge it, or you can charge it, is with like a hanger. So mm-hmm. a thing that you can hang the headset on, also charge it, which is pretty cool. For that, the earbuds, let's see, they include dual microphones, so I assume one in each of them, mm-hmm. with AI-enhanced, you know, filtering of background sounds, as well as lossless audio, and comes with the charging case. So that looks neat for that as well. I don't know if I'm going to get into this. I'm not a huge audiophile, but the earbuds seem kind of neat. The headset and earbuds will connect with the PlayStation Portal, as well as the PS5, and they're also going to release a separate USB adapter for... Yeah, PlayStation Link USB adapter will be sold separately,
mm-hmm.
so you can use it on PC and Mac, so you can experience that same lossless and low-latency audio on your PC and Mac platforms,
mm-hmm.
as well as probably other devices as well that can, you know, plug in via USB. So, yeah, that seems like all the details here.
Mm-hmm.
Some pretty good high-end, you know, audio stuff, though if you want, you can go even higher end on that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Audio equipment can get very expensive if you want to go that kind of way.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'd get the earbuds if they get cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Cheaper, so maybe at some point I'll go for that, but none of this other stuff really fits the way I play games around here.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of as a side note, I think PlayStation acquired an audio headset maker, Audizy, mm-hmm. I think it's technically pronounced. It looks like Audiz, A-U-D-E-Z-E, yeah. But it's pronounced, I think, like Odyssey.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a very premium headset maker, so
yep.
Maybe they're the ones behind those headsets and the earbuds, so that might make sense. Though, it's a bit interesting that they were purchased by PlayStation, not Sony proper.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of an interesting thing there. So that's neat.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking at this peripheral though, and I'm like, it still looks kind of awkward as all hell.
Yeah.
But you know, I will say it would work if they could redesign sort of the handles on here, because the way this thing is stationed, it looks like your hands are going to be like, it just doesn't look right.
Yeah, maybe.
Very awkward. And I'm hoping you'll be able to like shift around like what position the screen is facing, because you know, it looks like you're going to, because it kind of looks like it's kind of coming in at like an angle. And yeah, never mind. I'm just talking out of my ass here. Hopefully it'll work out. Because honestly, yeah. I want portable gaming to be not only more of a thing, but more advanced.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know this at an angle. I think it's just a much smaller screen than the handles are.
Yeah, that's possible.
So it's kind of recessed a little bit in there.
Mm.
Makes it look a little weird, but yeah, I don't think it's detachable in any way like Joy-Cons.
Mm-hmm.
Though hopefully that makes it a little more comfortable to hold, because holding the Switch, not great for long periods of time.
Nope.
The DualSense is a little bit better for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that looks like that would probably be a little bit better to hold.
Mm-hmm.
Though then it also kind of looks like those GameCube controllers for Phantasy Star Online,
mm-hmm.
Where they had the big keyboard in the middle. That made it look a little silly. It's kind of like that, where you got a bunch of space between the two sides, but yeah. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
For that, we got some Xbox news here to cap off the show.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the somewhat popularity of the customized covers for the console covers for the PS5, mm-hmm. Xbox managed to find a means for doing that for their console.
Mm-hmm.
Though you do not need to like open it up or anything. They announced mm-hmm. Xbox console wraps. These are, I think, like vinyl wraps.
Mm-hmm.
They're not necessarily like the like stickers you would get at like GameStop mm-hmm. to like customize the look of your console. Seems like almost more like a portfolio kind of thing you would maybe have in high school or something like that to put all your papers in.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff that wraps around it mm-hmm. to and leaves the Xbox button and the disk drive clear, as well as the fans on the back.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it connects with some... what kind of material is that? I'm not 100% sure what it is it connects to. It's not magnets, I don't think.
Because
mm-hmm. That might be bad for that, but they have Starfield ones right now.
Mm-hmm.
It might be reversible. Maybe that's why I'm seeing two different looks here.
Mm.
I'm not sure. On that front, but they have a Starfield one here for $50. Mm-hmm. That'll be out October 18th. You can pre-order now. They also have two camos. Arctic camo gray and the mineral camo with like some blues and purples in it. And then I noticed that it's the exact same camo design, just they mm-hmm. filled in colors on one and the other one's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of stuff. So those, I guess, are
$44.99.
Mm-hmm. So you can pre-order that all now. The camo stuff launches November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
So you can check those out if your Xbox Series X is looking kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
And you aren't winning in the specialized ones that they're giving away on
mm-hmm.
Twitter constantly.
Mm-hmm.
Where they made, I think they made ones for that TMNT movie that emitted pizza smell out of it.
Yeah.
I was just like, that sounds disgusting.
Yeah. Seriously.
Because it's like the difference between like actual pizza and then like pizza combos and pizza flavored chips kind of stuff. And it's like,
mm-hmm.
these are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're trying to imitate that stuff. But yeah, this... Starfield 1 looks pretty nice, but also my Series X is behind my TV, so
mm-hmm.
it serves zero purpose for me to buy any of this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I have zero interest in any of this.
Absolutely.
It just seems like a very silly way for them to be like, we're going to sell you crap to customize the look of your thing.
Yeah, seriously.
Because these look like things that are probably very cheap to make, but
mm-hmm.
charge you $50 for them. It's like, hey, Starfield.
Mm-hmm.
You can get that weird white design oh, yeah. that the controller has, but you can have it on your console.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just noticing this weird like globe logo for Starfield looks like a Rocket League ball.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just fucking with me right now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, did Rocket League somehow take over the Earth and influence the space race? I don't mm-hmm. know. But yeah, that's a very silly thing you can get.
Mm-hmm.
But in less silly news, Microsoft is making a big deal to try to get their merger with Activision Blizzard to get through in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
As they have announced that they have sold cloud gaming rights to Activision Blizzard King Games to Ubisoft, which is a big surprise. I remember getting an email from Ubisoft being like, what the fuck? Because I think their email was literally like, Activision Blizzard games are coming to Ubisoft Plus. And I'm like, what? That's weird. And then I looked into it, and it was all this news about this deal. And let me see if I can find it here. I don't know. But yeah, it was kind of a weird thing to see that, yeah. Especially trying to figure out like what all this means here, because the it seems like they are, let's see, this includes executing an agreement effective at the closing of our merger that transfers cloud streaming rights for all current and new Activision Blizzard PC and console games released over the next 15 years to Ubisoft Entertainment. The rights will be in perpetuity. And the Ubisoft tweet was, the Ubisoft Plus lineup is expanding. We're excited to announce a new agreement that will bring Activision Blizzard games to Ubisoft Plus via streaming on the completion of Microsoft's acquisition of Activision Blizzard. And yeah, it seems like that means, yeah, Modern Warfare 2 will soon be added to Ubisoft Plus multi-access subscription service. That's the top tier. That's like 18 or 19 bucks a month, something like that. That's the one that you have to sign up for if you want to get Ubisoft Plus on Xbox. It seems like they'll also be having some of this as part of the Ubisoft Plus Classics add-on for PlayStation Plus users, which I think is part of Extra and Premium. The games can still be licensed for Microsoft's own Game Pass subscription service. They would not be able to become exclusive to any one cloud gaming platform. Yeah, that's essentially, it seems like they would be able to sign deals with other licensing or like streaming rights groups to get those games on their services, that kind of stuff, to do that. So that's neat. It's a neat kind of wrinkle to it. It's kind of a very unexpected that like Ubisoft would get involved in this. In some way, especially for something that you don't really think of Ubisoft as a streaming games company. The most I've seen is they're on Amazon Luna, which is Amazon's little streaming service that nobody cares about. That has like streaming channels that you subscribe to versus an overall service kind of thing. But yeah, let's see. Ubisoft will compensate Microsoft through a one-off payment, as well as wholesale pricing mechanisms that include the option to pay based on usage. Ubisoft will then have the ability to license out the games yet other subscription services, as well as pay a fee to force Microsoft to port Activision games to competing PC gaming operating services like Linux. Because that's like a hilarious thing. We're going to force you to port Call of Duty to Linux. Which I don't know that anybody would ever want, really. I don't know. There's probably some on there, but yeah, we'll see if this is the thing that helps get the CMA to greenlight this whole thing. As they've said here, this is not a greenlight. We'll carefully and objectively assess the details of the restructured deal and its impact on competition, including in light of third-party comments. Our goal has not changed. Any future to this decision on this new deal will ensure that the growing cloud gaming market continues to benefit from open and effective competition, driving innovation and choice. I assume this may be the thing that pushes them over the edge on this and gets this deal to finally close, as they are hoping to get it done by October 18th, I think is the date that they extended to. So, yeah. It's going to happen here at some point in the near future, so that seems like the thing that may end up pushing that over the edge. So, yeah, there you go. their old thing. The only other thing there close to this is that, PC Game Pass titles are going to be coming to GeForce Now. This is something I was trying to figure out how the hell this works. They have Microsoft Store integration into GeForce Now, which is their streaming service that lets you kind of stream PC games from hardware that is probably much better than the one you have on your PC, and kind of let you see these games at sort of higher specs that you may not be able to afford.
And
this would get probably just Microsoft and Bethesda games through GeForce Now. I also see a brand new Xbox button on supported PC games can seamlessly launch these titles across their devices, provided they either purchase standalone games through the Microsoft Store or have an active Xbox Game Pass Ultimate or PC Game Pass subscription. And I was like, okay, so if you have a Game Pass Ultimate or PC Game Pass, are you able to check these out for free? And I don't think that's the case.
Yeah.
I've been trying to figure this out here. Let's see. Yeah, join Steam, Epic Games Store, Ubisoft Connect, and others in the cloud. Support for GeForce Now. I do think you have to have, with the GeForce Now Ultimate membership, stream popular shooters Gears 5 and Deathloop with the highest graphical fidelity. Embark on a mini adventure on the big screen by shrinking to the size of an ant and Grounded. Let's mention Pentiment, Age of Empires series, Wolfenstein 2, New Colossus, and Wolfenstein Youngblood. What else here? So, I think you need both subscriptions. I could be wrong. It's not super clear here on NVIDIA's post about this. But they did announce other games that would be coming to the service, like Payday 3, Cyberpunk, and Phantom Liberty. Alan Wake 2 will be on there as well. I guess Doom. Let's see, WrestleQuest. Yeah, they have a bunch of Xbox stuff here. I guess Mount & Blade 2, No Man's Sky, Pentiment, Quake, Shadowrun, Dragon Falls through Xbox, Stellaris, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So yeah, they got some stuff here. Looks neat if you use the GeForce Now stuff. Otherwise, the way that it's described as needing two subscriptions is kind of a little bit weird. But yeah, it's seems like an all right news there, but helps Microsoft's case of getting their streaming stuff out on more platforms. So there you go. And that's going to do it. Lots of news today. Lots of stuff to look forward to here for the rest of the year. As I even had to exclude a bunch of stuff that got announced as well that just I don't think interests any of us. Not for negative reasons. We just have plenty on our plates.
Oh, God, yes. And I got, I got Baldur's Gate 3 coming out week after next. And that one's good. That one's going to take a little while. So,
yeah. Like the list I was looking at, it's like, what's here? 8K Zolotl, September 14th. The new Avatar game, not James Cameron's Avatar, Nintendo's Avatar. That's got a game in September 22nd. Train Sim World 4, September 26th. The final Horizon update for Sonic Frontiers is September 28th, where Sonic goes Super Saiyan 2. Yeah, that kind of stuff. Scorn for PlayStation is October 3rd. The new Hellboy game is October 4th. There's Worldless, an indie game, October 4th. Seventh Guest VR is October 19th. That looks neat. They've like redone all the visual stuff because it's, you know, it's got to work in like first person kind of stuff there. The new Lord of the Rings Return to Moria is October 24th. My Time at Sandrock got delayed to November 2nd. The new RoboCop game, Rogue City, is November 2nd. Call of Duty is November 10th. Turok 3 They're remastering that for November 14th. Because why not? So there's another Warhammer game coming out November 17th. Bulletstorm VR's the December 14th. There's a Star Wars Dark Forces remaster announced for later this year. Yeah. Which if you don't know about that, that's like a Doom 2-like, but Star Wars.
Yep.
So yeah, there's that. Yeah, a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We'll probably talk more about some of that stuff that doesn't have a date when it does get a date.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of stuff got announced this week, and even that was a shortening of what all was got announced. So yeah, a lot of stuff. But yeah, we're 1 week closer to Starfield and for Brandon Baldur's Gate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Wednesday after next.
Uh-huh.
By the time we do the next show, people that paid extra money get to play Starfield.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Baldur's Gate stuff is 3 days, so I think that would be the third. That would be the Monday after.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's Sunday. So maybe that'd be that Sunday. But yeah, that's going to do it this week. So thank you, Brandon, for joining.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and games to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the holiday season continues.
Yep.
And threatens to destroy us all.
Yeah.
So yeah, thank you all for tuning.
Not so much figuratively, but literally, because we've got a tropical storm that's off the coast, and we might get the back winds of it Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's happening.
Yep.
Fun.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good rest of your week. If you enjoy the show, if you let friends and family know, they should check it out. Mm-hmm. And the select strangers that are also excited about games that are coming out this fall.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you all next time. Hope you have a good one. And yeah, we'll see you all next time.